we continue our study in Philippians. Tonight we're going to look at the fourth chapter. I'm going to go back a little bit to verse 10 just for a moment. But let's go ahead and if we could stand together and read Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Interesting that Paul gets a little personal as he, you know, don't you love to, you know, no one wants to be called out, right? No one wants to be, you know, if you get called out by the teacher or the coach, or no one likes it. Paul does that in this chapter. Let's read together. Paul says this: "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche." Some of your translations may say urge. "I plead with Euodia and Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Thank you. You may be seated, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for the words of Paul, inspired and given by under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Philippian church. Father, as you know, as we know, it gives us a sense of encouragement that in all circumstances, Paul was able to write these things and pass them to the Philippian church and then on to other churches and us today. And so, Father, we pray that you would, tonight, that you would meld in our hearts and reveal your will to us. Father, we thank you for this congregation and the experiences and the testimonies and the time that has been invested into your kingdom by these that are present tonight. And so, Father, I pray that as we walk through this, Father, that your Holy Spirit would just guide us, control us. We pray for the power of your Holy Spirit now. And Father, when we leave here in the next few moments, that we would be different, that we'd be closer to you, that we would know you better because of our time with you tonight. In Christ's name, amen. The testimony of Paul in chapter 3, verse 10, when he says, "I want to know you better and know the power of your resurrection." And we kind of talked about that last week, but when we look at the testimony, everybody here has an experience with Christ. Everybody here has a testimony. And if you take all of the testimonies and the experience that we have, it's just amazing. And Christ changes people. There's a lot that we could talk about, but the idea that Jesus Christ transforms people. I'm going on a limb here. Do you all know who Kanye West is? I don't pay much attention to Kanye West. I know that he interrupted, Taylor Swift. Yeah, he went up, she won some music award, and he went up and humiliated everybody and said that he deserved the award, right? Beyonce, that's right. Thank you. And so it's kind of like, this guy's out of his mind. And, you know, recently, you know, he's come to Christ. I don't all that to say. And the word, this guy married, if I don't pay much, again, my daughter could probably tell me a whole lot better. But he married Kim Kardashian, right? Okay. As the story goes, a couple of years ago, these two accepted Christ in a church in North Miami. And they are part of the beach glitzy crowd there. And they accepted, well, I don't know about Kim, but they've been going to church together, but Kanye accepted Christ. And so he has come out recently with an album that says Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And he is popping up all over the country, and he's witnessing and preaching and talking about Christ. And because of this, there's all kinds of people that are coming to Christ, and people are having conversations about Christ. And it's very interesting. And then you've got these people, well, you know, he's just another, the latest celebrity. Is he really a believer? You know, time will tell and all this kind of stuff. And it's kind of like, look, if Christ can change Saul, that turns to Paul, who is probably the greatest defense of the gospel, who wrote half the New Testament, I think he can change Kanye West, right? I mean, are you with me? Anybody here listen to Kanye's music? You do? It pops up every so often. I'm not a Kanye guy, you know. I think my kids are probably Kanye guys, you know. But it's interesting when you see the music that was coming out and now that has come out. And so I'm rooting for him. You know, I don't know about you all, but I'm rooting for him, and I think it's a great testimony, and we'll see. But I mean, I'm excited for Kanye West. All that to say, when we look at our testimonies, let me just ask you, what is the thing that we find ourselves? We see grace, and I'll just tell you, because we're going to be here we could talk about our experience all night. But when you come to Christ, don't you have a sense of gratitude? And there's this understanding of grace. I am so thankful for grace. And I'm so thankful for Christ coming into my heart, Christ changing me, that I have a God that I can depend on, that you know, I put at night, I put my head on a pillow and I go to sleep. And there are certain things I think we all have concerns and anxiety about and everything, but as a believer in Christ, we put our head on a pillow and we go to sleep. And that grace and that gratitude is the thing that we want to talk about tonight. This really could be a Thanksgiving message as far as the issue of gratitude. We're a few weeks ahead of that. But we want to talk about gratitude, but first of all, by living a life pleasing to God that starts in verse 4. But first he addresses this issue of these two women. I just want to briefly talk about this. There are two women, Euodia and Syntyche, and the issue is that these two women get into some sort of squabble or contention or quarrel in the church. And what he says very quickly is he says, have the same mind, be in unity, get along, work together. The idea is don't take up sides, don't split the church, don't have a thing, as I think I told you, I told my daughter, not everything is a thing. We don't know what the quarrel was. We don't know what the disagreement was. We don't know what the squabble is about. But the reality is they are to work together. They are to be of the same mind and have a sense of peace and unity in Christ together. Now, I was very young in my ministry, and I was working in the singles. I was a singles and college guy for a time. And there were two single women in the church that were in their 30s, and they were in, somehow they got into a squabble, I don't know. And it started to fester, it started to squabble. And so with the staff, we were talking about it, and I said this, and this is my youthfulness, I said, you know, maybe we should just get them into a room and have them just talk and battle it out. That's what guys do. And they said, what are you, crazy? You don't want to get two women like this in one room to hash it out. You know? So this is what Paul is saying. He says, you know, be of the same mind, work it out. And he asked, remember, these are people that have worked in the cause of the gospel along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So these are believers. And it tells them, there's lots of stuff to say about this, and I'm just going to pass on, but the idea is that is that there can be disagreement in the body, and you work it together instead of choosing sides. And we move on from there. But he says here, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Gratitude. Believers have a sense of gratitude by living a life that is pleasing to the Lord. It says, rejoice in the Lord. People who trust in the Lord or are happy in the Lord are apt to either not give offense or be offended. Have you noticed that? That when something happens and we're having this instance of joy and peace, when something comes against us, when there's pushback, there is less of an understanding of being offended. It simply just don't get distracted by the petty things of life. You know, petty people have a way of sucking the fun and joy out of the room, don't they? They just do. And so here Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord. Remember, the joy of the Lord is the cure-all for all discord. Now remember, we said joy is not a mode, it's not a mood, it's not a feeling, but joy in the Lord, that sense of joy, is this peace and happiness that comes only to the believer of having Christ in your heart and knowing that you've been changed and knowing that you are different. The same tribulation comes, the same crisis comes, the same trials come. All of that happens, but the joy of the Lord is the cure for all discord. Now, we're not talking about a Pollyanna attitude, but a real joy in God working in the situation. And here he says gentleness is a spirit of patience. It's because the Lord is coming. The Lord is going to return. We can't rejoice if we refuse to rejoice if we get caught up in the ruts of life, if we get caught up in this thing where we're always singing the dirges of life, if we're always everything bad is going to take place, everything is going to happen to us, and we're just expecting this negative stuff, this oppression to live with, and we kind of get the stoic attitude that we're supposed to. No, that's not joy. We would call it the two M, M and M. First, minimize the monsters in our lives. Minimize those things. And then second, this is a little silly, but mash the mugwumps. Now, the mugwump back in the day was an independent person in politics that was not trustworthy. And so minimize those issues, those things in our lives, and then mash those mugwumps. Get rid of that stuff. So we are to show gratitude. Paul says, have gratitude by living a life pleasing to God. Secondly, live a life of gratitude by knowing God's plan and presenting prayers of request that are God-honoring. First, we rejoice in the Lord. Second, now is to rest in the Lord. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. This is a command in Greek, not a wish, but it's a command. He says, it's not to worry. Don't be a nail biter. Who has been a nail biter? I used to be a nail biter, okay? And I've kind of worked through that. You know, nail biters here, and everybody's being anonymous. Yeah, you're just anxious. Just worry about stuff. And here we're not supposed to be anxious. We see Jesus in Matthew said, don't worry. Paul says it here. Now, the issue of worry, It makes us mentally harassed or emotionally agitated, preoccupied by distressing fears or tormented or burdened by things that have not happened but may happen. These are things that we need to give over to Christ. So he says, make your request made known. He wants our participation. He wants, we're supposed to ask God. We go to the throne, we ask God. I heard it said like this, and it's very true. Some of you, if you've been executive, if I'm in a meeting, don't bother me. But my children can call me anytime, and I will always pick up the phone, no matter who or what I am doing, because they're my children. And so if that's the children of executives, think about what it's like to be God's children, that we have access to the Father. And he's not going to say, no, not now. I'm not going to talk to you now. Anytime, day or night, we can access the Father. by simply asking. He says, worry about nothing, pray about everything. But the fact is that we shouldn't worry. Now, if you've been watching the wildfires in California and those flames are coming at your house, then you need to do more than worry. You need to act, right? Get yourselves either out of there or make sure you're hunkered down, but probably you need to get out of there. But the fact is we worry about too many things in the world and world affairs. We worry about the future. We worry about the past. We worry about the non-essential issues. We worry about how to please people. We worry about every single thing except the things of God. And so Paul says, stop worrying and give everything over to God. Corrie ten Boom from The Hiding Place, if you don't know, she authored The Hiding Place. She was in the Nazi concentration camps of Auschwitz and Buchenwald. And she has been quoted a lot lately. I don't know why, but she's been popping up in social media and everywhere lately. And she said this, worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows, but it empties today of our strength. Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows, but it empties today of our strength. And so we're not to worry, we're not to have anxiety over things, but we're to go right to God over these things. And so we're, number one, we rejoice in the Lord. Number two, we are to rest in the Lord. And number three, we show gratitude by understanding God's protective peace, which means to relax in the Lord. Let me tell you a little secret. My kids have gotten me a hammock forever. I love hammocks. I love to take the hammock in the backyard. It's great. You all a hammock. All right, now let me tell you, these are some of the things that I deal with having an autistic kid. I don't know why, but when Daniel started being able to maneuver himself, and I would get hammock father for Father's Day or for birthday or something, and would put it out there, and he would take a pair of scissors, he'd go out there and he would cut the rope. I don't know why. I have no understanding. I just don't know why, but he would do that. And I love to relax in the hammock. What? Maybe, I don't know. And so for this birthday, last year, my wife got me a portable hammock. And it's in a box. And it sits in the box in the garage. And every so often she says, oh, you guess you didn't like your present. And I say, no, I love the present, but I'm afraid to put it out there because Daniel is going to take scissors, he's going to see it out there, and he's going to cut it, and he's going to destroy my gift. And so it sits out there. I mean, it sits in the box instead of out there where it belongs. But when we think about relaxing in the Lord, now that's a temporal relaxation, but an understanding of an eternal relaxing in the Lord. Rejoice, rest, but then relax. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is that peace from God. And peace from God can only know from knowing God in a personal way. Peace with God and peace of God, it's beyond the idea of human understanding, will guard. Again, guard is this military term to guard a strong high place as in a castle. And so when we look at this issue of giving thanks and gratitude, it's the idea of against any kind of whining or complaining spirit before God. But when we come to God, we've already prayed about what our requests are. And so, of course, God only, He already knows because He's God. But we are to make those requests known to God. We are to pray in the will of God. And we are to pray expectantly that God, in the hope that God will answer in some form. Now, when we look at this issue of gratitude, we review review the past. What are the things that God has done for us? That's all an issue of gratitude. I am so thankful. And aren't you thankful that you are not who you were back then? I mean, I hope we're all changed, right? But the fact is that we were once this way, and God is through this process has taken us through, and we are mature believers in Christ. So we look at the things that we see, those experiences that God brought us through. We focus on the present. We refocus on the present, thinking of the issues as God has placed in our present condition. And then it restores our perspective, because giving the sense of gratitude is really all a sense of perspective in what Christ has done. How I look at my life in the great expanse of the universe, of the heavens and the earth, my Lord and my Savior. John MacArthur, he talked about this. He said he went to a secular party, and there was all these celebrities there. And he was really tired of hearing this one guy that kept he was a name dropper, and he kept saying in front of MacArthur all these big names, all these big shots in Hollywood. And so MacArthur said, you know, I was getting sick and tired of this guy kept name dropping. So he said, I think I'll do the same. So he said, you know, yeah? He said, you may know this guy, but you know what? I know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's my friend, and I know him. He has invited me over to his house. He has made room for me, and the Lord is my friend. So there. Relax in the Lord. Give thanks. When we look at this sense of gratitude, it's a time to thank God, our Maker. This whole, you know, we know we use November as a time of thanksgiving, but really every day should be thanksgiving. We thank God for being our Maker and our Protector. We thank God for the gift of life and the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. But gratitude, by living a life of pleasing to God, with this, to rejoice in the Lord, to be happy in the Lord, to have that sense of a relationship that no matter what takes place, that I have a deep sense of peace. Second is gratitude by knowing God's plan, presenting prayers of request, going to God, go right to God. We don't have to fool with all these things. We go right. We have access. Direct access to the Father. But we have to pray in the will of God. And then third, gratitude by understanding God's protective peace. Relaxing. Rejoicing, resting, and relaxing. I want to belabor tonight. There's a story that Corrie ten Boom tells about when she was in the one of the concentration camps, and her sister Betsy, they would go back and forth, and they would just encourage each other, and they were afraid that the guards would come in and take whatever they had, a Bible that they would tear pages of and share, and they were afraid the guards would come in, and so they also had a flea problem. And so one night this guard started to come in and take the Bibles, but they stopped at the door because of the fleas in their barrack. And one of them said, I'm not sure which one, but said, we can thank God even for the fleas. And as we look at this, as we move into a time of Thanksgiving this month, that's just a time to reflect. Every day should be a time, but we show gratitude because of who we are in Christ, our testimony, how Christ has changed us, how he's transformed us. We talked at the beginning about Kanye West, but how many people has Christ changed? Everybody in this room, you know, Christ, if Christ has come into your heart, you've surrendered your life to Christ, he's changed you, and he's grown you, and he's taken you through various experiences, good, bad, and ugly. And I would just think on those things, to rejoice in the Lord, to rest in the Lord, and then to relax in the Lord. Let's go ahead and close, and we will dismiss. Father, we thank you, Father, for being in our lives, for being such a great God. You control the universe. And even in the craziness and the chaos of all the stuff that happens on this planet, you still personally care about each one of us. You know our hearts. You know us. you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, and you love us anyway. And so, Father, just a good reminder that to teach us and to remind us to rejoice in you and to rest in you and to go even further, that understanding of peace, and to just relax. And tonight, whatever the anxiety is, whatever the worry is, just remind us to put our heads on a pillow and just go to sleep. Because you've got it all under control. Because you are our God, our Father, our anchor, our friend, our Redeemer. Father, dismiss us as we leave here with this reminder. In Christ's name, amen.